Well, if you're like most church leaders, you hear all the time about the importance of reaching Gen Z, but I'm here to tell you that it's probably time to start turning some of your attention, at least, over to the next generation. Yes, I'm talking about Gen Alpha. And in this conversation, we're going to unpack some of the ways that I've seen churches do a great job reaching that generation. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today the conversation is around Gen Alpha and how we can do a better job reaching them in the church. I think it should be a good conversation. Ian, I think that people like use the term Gen Z, and we think that's kind of like the only generation we should be focusing on. Because all I hear in the church right now is reach Gen Z, reach Gen Z. And we have a whole new generation coming up. I think we do this, like, as every generation gets older, we kind of remain focused on that generation for too long and start like not talking about the up and coming generation. So I think it should be a really good conversation for us today. It was eye opening for me as we dig in and did some of the research on these conversations. And we met with some of our Gen Z team that helps us in the podcast production side of things. So looking forward to this, man.
Yeah, you're right. And when you say everyone says Gen Z, they used to say the same thing about millennials, right? They would even refer to, so the next gen, when millennials are older now, but forever we kept even the generation younger than millennials, which is Gen Z. What comes after millennials? What came after after millennials?
Like before millennials or after them? Gen Z was after millennials.
They were directly after. Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I had a brain fart there. So, but we
would
refer to even...
You were before millennials, though.
Of course I was. Yeah. But barely. I'm a young man. Gen Xer. I just had another birthday, so let's get that out of the way. But no, you're right. This should be fun. You and I both have a kiddo, your son and my son, your youngest son, rather. I know you have two sons. I have one. They are both Gen Alpha.
Let's help our audience with this too. So when we talk about Gen Alpha, we mean people born between 2010 and 2024, I guess, 25. Yeah. So up until this year, that's when the latest part of the generation is. But that means that at the time of this recording, that Gen Alpha is 15 years old on the top end, 15, 16 years old. So your youth group is almost entirely made up of Gen Alpha kids, and don't make the mistake of them being Gen Z. And there are some differences there between the generations. We're going to unpack some of those here, I think, in this this conversation. So let's get serious about it. Let's dig in, and I guess you can kind of lead us through some of those different things that make them unique and how we reach them, and we'll kind of get some feedback.
Well, I think we say, when we're talking specifically about how to reach them, how to minister to them, how to keep them engaged at your church, that's what we're about to kind of roll out here. And the first point would be, give them leadership roles. You know, I'm glad we're talking about this one first, because I think sometimes, I know traditionally churches have done a bad job at times, not all churches, but and churches have gotten better at this, but equipping the younger generation for ministry. And since everyone is, like you said at the beginning, focused on Gen Z, Gen Alpha, they're ready for leadership to a certain a certain capacity. You know, they're not be ready to take over a senior pastorate role or something like that. But
not at 15. I don't think so.
No. It'd be amazing gifting and maturity operating there. What is it? What is kind of a low risk leadership role? What can you empower them to do? Because let's face it, they're the future leaders of the church.
Yeah, bro. My church does such a good job of this, and this is nothing about me. I think just my team at my church is so good at equipping our young people to do it. So the majority, I would say, of our tech team on Sunday mornings, so camera operators, our producers, our pro presenter people, our switchers, our lighting operators, I think all of them would fall under that Gen Alpha category. They're all 13, 14, 15 years old in that area. I think that this is one of the best ways is when they're given responsibility, we just watch over and over again that we're seeing this generation rise up to kind of meet the requirements on that. And here's what I'm seeing too, is that Gen Alpha loves to learn and grow like with Gen Alpha. So here's something that's so crazy to me is that my son, he's Gen Alpha, like we said. So he's 13, born in 2012. And he loves to worship. But like when we get together at church and we have like our main normal worship, and it might be partly because it's early in the morning on Sundays, he's kind of like in that zombie position when it comes worship time. And it's just, he's not very demonstrative. He's kind of barely singing along. But then I see him when he's at like youth worship that's led by Gen Alpha aged youth people. The kid is like passionately worshiping. Yeah. And then I asked him about this recently because here's the truth is that like the team at our church, like on Sunday morning, musically, like voices and everything, they're just by every metric better at musicians than the youth worship team, right? That's just, there's not, I'm not saying that as a slight to the youth team, that they're awesome. I love those guys.
Yeah.
But just like, there's just something about being led in worship by other people his age that I remember from when I was young too, that is just so life changing for him. And I see these videos from camp where my son is like there at camp and he's like so demonstratively like has his hands raised. And I'm like, who is this guy? It's the opposite of what I see on Sunday morning. So I'm proud of him when I see that kind of stuff, but that just goes to show like the power of having Gen Z equipped into the work of the ministry, like letting them do that, like it's the best way to reach more. I'm sorry, I said Gen Z. I meant to say Alpha. see, I'm doing it.
You're guilty of what we identified at the beginning. Exactly. Here. Yeah.
So equipping Gen Alpha to do leadership, to work in the ministry, is the best way to reach more Gen Alpha when they see people kind of doing the same, the leading them their own peers that way is really just awesome.
Yeah, I can relate with my son too. Like when we're all together at Sunday service, he's like you said, a zombie almost. Not totally, but he's engaged more on the message. But when he's when we have our wave night, is what we call it, where it's all his age and a slightly older doing worship and everything. Yeah, his hands are raised and all of that. But also in his small group setting, he's in a small group that is led by Gen Alpha and Gen Z led, but Gen Alpha in there. And he's talking about things with them. He's coming telling me after the small group things that I'd never hear him talk about here at home, which is awesome. God things. Things about evangelism where I'm like, what? Oh my gosh. So it's great. So
my son said to me, like when I had that conversation asking him about, hey, why is it so different for you? And he, I think his direct response was, Dad, just young people, they're just low key, they're better at leading worship. That's so it's funny. Like what he said. Like that's he said funny. Low key in there. That's that was one of the key things. That's how you know it's legit Gen Alpha stuff, I think. So
that's funny. Well, good. Next one is focus on family discipleship with Gen Alpha. What do we mean by that?
Yeah, we mean just pouring into and equipping parents to be the chief disciplers. We've always known this, right? Like that if the only input that kids get to grow their faith happens on Wednesday nights at youth group or just on Sunday mornings, it's just not enough. And so mom and dad need to model it. And so the best way to do that, I think for churches, is to equip parents to be better at that.
Yes.
And so one thing we're doing at our church is we're offering annually, we're offering parents workshops. Sometimes they're one night workshops or one morning workshops. Other times we did like a 6-week course on intentional fatherhood that was really good and helped dads kind of come up with a plan on how to parent your kids, your specifically Gen Alpha aged kids. So it was just really helpful to see guys doing that together in that particular case, but moms and dads both need to be the ones that are actually doing the work of discipling their kids, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, another part of that is just that, you know, my son, and I know your son as well, both of our Gen Alpha sons, are in the public school system. Well, a lot of the friends that go to church, they're not really living out their faith much at school or day to day when they're not at church because their parents are not in church or discipling them. So it's always perplexing to my son. He's like, they came and they talked about God, and then all of a sudden at school they're smoking weed in the bathroom. So and that's of course a more extreme example. It does happen in public schools, or they're just not, you know, living and walking out. So we've said this, any generation, you know, the younger generation with what they're dealing with, so vital that the parents are discipling them at home and walking the walk, not just talking the talk. So yeah, very good. So this next one's a fun one. We're not going to dismiss their trends and their terms that they use, or maybe another way to say that is slang that they used. I have had numerous jokes about what our sons say and the things that they say, which again, this is like we're getting older. This is what our parents would say too. They had their own terms. We had ours that these kids don't, but these are just, some of these are really different these days.
I think it's so important. I'll be the first to admit that I guess I dismissively joke about funny things that my son says, and it's a good thing to get kind of a laugh at their expense. And every generation throughout history has done this. I used to call everything rad when I was my son's age.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all did these kinds of things.
Well, that's a Hawaii thing or a California thing for sure.
It was a Ninja Turtle thing, I think, more than anything.
Well, that too. So. Yeah, but it was more prevalent there than it was in, like, Texas. It was more probably of like your country slang. Yeah.
Maybe. So anyway, but like that, we all have our generational terms that we use. But it just seems like these terms go faster than they used to, just because of online culture and those kinds of things. But yeah, my advice would be that it's easy to throw little lobs and joke about it. And it's fine, I guess, to joke lightheartedly about it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, don't get on them, I think, on those kinds of things. Like, that's something that, you know, as long as it's not inappropriate in its origins, which some of them are. So be careful for that. But I think that, I think just kind of giving kids grace in that area is good for them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we have a list here that thankfully a member of our Gen Z team came up with. Say his name, Shiloh, right? He does a lot of our behind the scenes content stuff. Great, great Gen Zer who loves Jesus. But he helped us with this, and you and I chuckled because we were familiar. But I'm should I read these out, Thomas?
Yeah, you can. So Shiloh is a Gen Alpha. He's a Gen Z who youth pastors Gen Alpha.
That's right.
So that's his specialty is leading Gen Alpha boys, mostly, is what he does there. So, he came up with a list that I am totally unaware of, but he thought it would be fun for me to take a stab at some of the Gen Alpha slang and interpret it for you. So here's what I'm going to do.
By the way, go ahead. No,
I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess, even if I have no clue what it is. I'm going to take I'm not just saying, I don't know. I'm going to take a guess, and then you can tell me. Do you have the definitions or just the slang?
Yes, I do. Yes,
you
I
do. Have, okay.
And I'm glad you said that, because I was going to read out the definitions. By the way, my son approved of all of these, and he was familiar with every one of them. I bounced them off of him before the podcast. So first one, Thomas,
embarrass
here.
Me.
What does crash out mean?
Run out of energy and just be done?
No, to throw a fit or really get upset. So wrong. Buzzer went off when you said that one.
0
so,
for 1. Okay.
Yeah,
keep score.
0 for 1 there. So I would have thought that too. I'm with you on that. What's huzz? H-U-Z-Z. Yeah.
Huzz
this one
is,
I didn't know either.
Yeah. Huzz is... It's like someone who has a lot of like bravado and like they really have their chest puffed out.
0 for 2.
What?
0 for 2. It's a woman or a group of women, specifically young girls, that these kids want to get with, or when I say get with, be their girlfriend, whatever.
Gotcha.
You know,
so we would have called those chicks back when I was a kid.
Agreed. We would have said chicks. And that was the... So I didn't know this one either. So,
okay.
The next one I do know, and I want to see if you do, chopped.
Chopped? Like,
yeah.
I would say that chopped is my same definition for crashed out. You got eliminated and cut out.
No, it is actually something ugly or unattractive, like a bad haircut. Chopped,
like, so you got chopped when you got a bad haircut.
I've heard my Gen Z daughter refer to my son's haircut that she doesn't like. She says, "You're chopped, bro." So chopped. It's a bad haircut.
Okay, so you're it's chopped. Always a haircut, but it's like other stuff. Like, can I wear a chopped like shirt?
It's almost saying you're ugly without being that mean.
Okay,
got so it. It's like a fun
you're
way
not,
to
it's
say
a bad hair day. It's not you're not looking your best. That's a bad hair.
Your shirt is chopped. Your hoodie's chopped. Whatever you're wearing. So you're 0-3, Thomas.
0-3. Okay.
What do we got? What is a chuzz?
Well, we did huzz already.
We did huzz. So what's
so chuzz must be a male version of huzz. It's like good looking guys that girls want to get with.
Nope. 0-4. This means the ugly girls.
Ugly. Oh,
remember,
okay.
Huzz
so
was the good. So chuzz is the reverse. So
where does that come from? What a trip. Chuzz is girls that are unattractive.
Yeah. I said this one wrong when I was reading it to my son. This next one is mew or mewing.
That's like when you do that, like if you're trying to make your face look a certain way to like, it's like your smoldering look.
You're close-ish. It is an exercise done to improve one's jawline.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So is that,
that's what I was saying. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like I got you. I knew that. I'm giving myself a point for that.
Yeah, there you
one,
go.
One.
Cooked. You got to know this. Your son's an athlete. And I maybe just gave it away to help you.
Yeah, I mean, so cooked would be that you get smoked or blown away or something like that. Yeah.
Right. It's a bad situation. Like I forgot to do my homework so your son plays basketball, mine football. If someone gets burned, like a receiver catches it over someone, they cooked the defensive back. So they got cooked. So there you go. Or it could be, I'm cooked. I'm in trouble. I forgot to do my homework. So, okay. So
two. That's two, baby. That's two today. I'm giving myself credit.
Cooking.
Like you're saying cooking, right? Like cooking?
Well, I said cooking. That's probably cooking. How they say it in Texas.
Okay. But cooking. Got it. Okay. So cooking is like you're killing it. You're doing really a good job. You got it.
That's burning, the. I think you answered that one the best, Thomas. That's what it was. Awesome. You're like, you're killing it. So next one.
I'm cooking.
Aura.
Aura is like someone's, I don't know if it's a Gen Z slag, but someone's riz. It's like positive. It's like a positive vibe that somebody has.
You got it. It's someone's overall coolness or vibe. And actually... one of my son's friends came in one time and after we recently painted this back wall and I got a little bit of the LED thing and he said, man, that's got aura. So it also could be something, but it's someone too. So last one, but not least, what's Riz?
Riz is positive aura. It's charisma is what it is.
Yeah, there you go. So you were almost 50.
Dude, I started off poorly
like,
though. You had me really scared. I didn't know any of those huzz or chuzz or
you,
any of those things.
You came out of it.
Man.
You came out of it. So, but so there we go. We hope that's fun for you guys and our audience there. So yeah, but again, you know, you said something at the beginning of this before we went through that list, like, you know, don't knock them for these things. You'd rather them being saying these things than cuss words and those types of things. And you know, not that you should be. We've been joking lately, and it's been on TV. Now the grown-ups are saying 6-7 and doing the little gesture for that.
I boo people when they... I know. Our youth pastor did it on the stage last week.
Oh, gosh.
And I audibly booed him when he did that. So
Good for you. Yeah, so there you go. So, all right, next one moving along. We combine digital and... tactile.
Yeah, digital and tactile. I think that this is good. Just kind of as far as reaching young people, there's this idea that everything they want to do is digital. They only want to text. They only want to, interact online or talk to people in video games or whatever. But really, they value real, personal, face-to-face kind of things. I'm seeing this so much so, especially in our youth ministry right now, just really trying to lean into that. And I'm not saying like you have to have arts and crafts and those kinds of things. I think it's more just like people are desperate, and we probably will talk more about this, but desperate for real personal things because they get so little of it at other times of their lives. So having face-to-face interaction, I think, is really valuable.
Yeah, exactly. I love this too about my son. Just he does have some video game time, but I love that he likes to physically go out and meet his friends, whether or not it's at the park to throw the football or just being with people in a small group setting. And meeting up with friends and all of that. So you're exactly right. So, but this next one, so empowering their questions in faith, I guess what we mean by that is like having discussion with them, Q&A type stuff about faith. You know, obviously this has been applicable for years, but it's something to not leave out with this generation too. Yeah.
I feel like this generation is more openly curious than the generation before it. I think that they're less, less afraid to ask questions that might be not PC or even some of those kinds of things. And so we're seeing this be really solid in those like youth small groups that we have, giving kids a place to openly ask not just Bible questions, but just like they're much more open with just like personal stuff and what they're dealing with and being able to talk about that kind of stuff directly. So yeah, I think, you know, Q&A opportunities, even I heard from a youth pastor recently, not ours, and I recommended it to ours, but that they once a quarter will do like a Q&A night where like leading up to it, kids will all text in their questions about Bible questions or you know, it can be just, you know, they do some fun ones and stuff in there too. And they just spend the whole night on a Thursday night here digging into some of the questions that the group actually has there. So
yeah,
I've seen this be really good. And giving kids an opportunity to do that is awesome.
Yeah. This one is a good segue to it. Sharing stories and testimonies. We chuckled at the beginning, you know, we're saying, oh, this is still relevant. Obviously, I mean, this is biblical. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. There's still nothing like sharing a testimonies, and that could be within a Q&A or a small group setting or whatever, or but just there's power in that. And the Bible instructs obviously parents to obviously share God's testimonies and acts and wonders and pass that down to the next generation. So but it's definitely something that should be encouraged for them to do amongst themselves also.
So here's what I think about it, is that it's you're right that like the testimonies have and will always remain the key to how we tell our story. And it's always going to be powerful and an important part of how we grow Christ followers. I do think that this generation, it's a unique opportunity for us, because when we see young people sharing their testimony, at least at our church, I'm seeing a better response than ever before from other generations. So your Gen Z, millennials, Gen Xers, boomers, everybody, hearing testimonies from young people is so powerful. And I think giving them an opportunity to share those testimonies is a way to kind of do what we talked about earlier, inviting them into leadership, inviting them into leadership roles of being someone that's not just having to listen, but actually a participant in sharing what God's doing in their lives. So we love this. Like our, we're really intentional about doing videos of youth ministry or camp videos and that kind of stuff, because it does change lives when we do that. So yeah, testimonies remain powerful.
Absolutely. So this last one, not least, I love this one actually. Stop treating them like they're too young. This was kind of like what we talked about in the first point, empowering them for leadership. But, you know, this is something that I've seen traditionally churches do often a bad job of. You know, churches are getting better at it too, but just, you know, thinking that they're too young or whatever to understand things or be involved or to even be discipled, you know, they're not. I'm seeing, like you just said, and we've covered throughout this episode here, that they're hungry. They're really hungry. They're spiritually hungry. And I think a lot of that has to do with the times we're in, but obviously what God's doing. But yeah, they're not too young. Don't treat them that way. Yeah.
I think this has been a problem throughout all of my life in ministry. And I see this really cropping up now as a challenge for the church, is that we do have this temptation, and I get it. Like, we want to be careful with giving away leadership and like not like set people off, and until their character is ready, we want to be really careful with that. I understand all those things. I'm just so thankful that people took a shot on me and gave me assignments I wasn't really ready for by today's standards when I was very young.
Throwing in the fire.
Absolutely. I mean, I was given opportunities to lead worship and preach when I was a teenager, and I was, you know, I got these kinds of opportunities, like not because I earned them necessarily, but because people believed in me, the Holy Spirit led them to invite me to do that. And so I would just encourage pastors and church leaders to prayerfully consider how you can equip Gen Alpha to take that next step and not just dismiss them, like Paul says to Timothy, not to let anybody look down on you because of your age. Nice. We do tend to naturally do that. And I think it's something we can really shine with when it comes to Gen Alpha. So it's a huge opportunity for us. So yeah, that's good advice, I'd say, Ian.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this was fun. I do think this will be helpful to a lot of pastors and ministry leaders. Again, we tend to focus on the one generation that we're trying to reach, but this one's coming up and they're coming up strong.
Yeah. I don't know if we have any Gen Alpha audience. I don't want to dismiss them, but if you happen to be Gen Alpha, I beg you, write a comment. Tell me something that I didn't get right about my definitions there. Give me another challenge on there. I promise you, if you're Gen Alpha and you write a word in there that I need to kind of define for you, I will take my best crack at it. I won't cheat. So drop us a comment. Let us know.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.